Okay, I'm on. Praise God. Let's see what we got here. All right. You feel like a light? Maybe it's this way. Father, we just come to you in the mighty name of Jesus. We come to you because you are home base, the best place, and always faithful and love and forgiveness. But we come to you today, Father, and we declare that we have ears to hear words from heaven that will poke us and push us and help us get to the places, the wonderful places, the abundant life you've called us to. I thank you for hearts prepared, receiving the word. And everybody said, amen, amen. Probably a couple of months ago, 3 months maybe more, Nevin came to me and he said, hey, Pastor D, let's do a night of worship. And I was like, yeah. The thing is, about 20 years ago, I would not have said, yeah. 20 years ago, I was like, what? Come and worship, stand. So when Nevin said this, I thought, man, this is it. So I'm going to be sharing on what worship is for the next couple of weeks. So that you're not like me. Oh, come to a worship service. Why would you do that? So that's the purpose in that. I got a little buzz going. Are we okay? You got it. You're working on it. Okay. Praise God. I love you guys back there. Got Deontay smiling, Michelle. There's Lane. Praise the Lord. Praise God. So when you think about worship, can I challenge you that this would be your thought? I am going to worship. I am going to bow before him because I love him. That should be what we worship about. That should be what worship's about. Lord, I am just going to bow my life before you. And I need you. So as a matter of fact, in the book of Revelations, there's this scene in heaven about the scene of what heaven was like. There's this scene going on, and it's described in the book of Revelations. And it says that when the saints got to heaven, they took off their crowns and they laid it before who? Yeah, before Jesus, before the throne of God. Now, what does crowns have to do? Well, it was like they were coming to heaven and they were laying down all their accomplishments, right here. Everything in their life amounted to, they laid it down before Jesus, okay? So when we're in heaven, we're going to get there. I'm planning to get there. I don't know about you. But I'm going to get there and I'm just going to go, Lord, I'm just laying everything that's ever happened in my life because nothing would have happened in my life except for you. So I lay all of this before you because without you, I'm nothing. Anybody ever figured that out? Without you, you're just nothing. Now, I do a lot of things, but when I've got the Lord, and then I'm just, but really, it's all through you. So we're going to talk about that, and I have to admit, before I asked the Lord Jesus into my life, I thought I was something. Anybody living the life of you were something? I thought I was going to accomplish some accomplishing things, okay? And then I had this encounter when I was in my early 20s with the Lord Jesus Christ, and I realized, man, I really can do not a whole lot unless I grab hold of him. Now, I do a whole bunch, but boy, when I lean on him, it is so much easier. It is just so much easier. So there's another scene that goes on in heaven, okay? And it's a scene of this being called Lucifer. And you'll read about it in Ezekiel. There's some scriptures. And in Isaiah, there's some scriptures about this scene, about what heaven was like. So there's this being called Lucifer. Only thing, he's not called Lucifer anymore, is he? No, he's the enemy. He's the devil, okay? But he was a being in heaven, and he was a worshiper. Matter of fact, he just wasn't a worshiper. He was the leader of worship before the Father, before the throne of God. I think that's a pretty big title. I am the worshiper. Not only am I a worshiper, I am the leader of all of this. So Lucifer's in heaven, and he is the worship leader, and he gets this into his thinking, and he says, hey, I'm better than him. Hey, I'm going to bring myself up above him, all right? And you know what we call that back then, and we still call that today? pride, all right? So he's walking around strutting himself saying, I am going to raise myself above the Lord God, and guess what? He gets thrown out of heaven, right? Everybody know this story? And he's not, we don't address him as Lucifer now. He is the devil. He's called Satan. He's our enemy. But this is the thing. He was in charge of worship. So is it any wonder that worship music on this world gets a little askew, twisted, kind of out there? Well, it does. But here's the thing. God loves pure hearts that worship him. He loves when we have this beautiful heart and we worship him. So we're going to talk about worship here. Let me tell you a story about, gosh, when did we start this church? 1980, how old's Jesse? Oh, whatever. Like 1985, something like that. That's a long time ago. We started this church, and when we started, we had a person on a guitar, and I was so thankful. Okay, and then as we grew, we had a couple more guitars, and then we had a drummer, and then we had bass going on, and we had keyboards going on, and we had worship going on. But this is still early on, and one time, honest, this person comes into church as a guest, and they go, hey, pastor, you know, those drums and guitar, they're demonic. What I thought I didn't say, but this is what, but I wanted to say, are you kidding me? David, the greatest psalmist, read the book of Psalms, read his life, his story, and Samuel and stuff like this. God anointed him, and he played all sorts of instruments to the Lord. And there were, you know, just all sorts of instruments. So I want to go, drums aren't demonic. They're not devilish. Maybe the person playing them it is, right? But they're not, all right? They're not. And so when you receive the Lord Jesus and when you submit yourself to him and when you just all of a sudden you have a change, there's not demonic. I'm worshiping him. It's just beautiful. And it was just beautiful here today. So I'm going to do a couple weeks series on worship, like who we worship, why we worship, and how we worship. So today we're going to talk about why we worship, okay? And by the way, worship team, all my worship teams, you guys, thank you, thank you, thank you. Amen? Just thank you. Just helping us. Praise God. Amen. So here's what I love about worship. Ready? You don't have to have a good voice. By the way, did you notice that I am not mic'd up singing? It's because... thank you, Jesus. Thank you for our worship team, okay? And you don't have to have a good voice to be a worshiper. You don't have to play an instrument to be a worshiper, okay? I don't have any of that or do any of that. Where's my worship? I still don't get where you clap. I ask him all the time, tell me that. And Lane has sat down and told me this thingamajig on how I should do it. So, but listen, here's the thing. I don't sing, I don't know how to clap, and I don't play an instrument, but I love to worship God. Anybody love to worship God? I could tell it today, okay? Now, so I have to say this. Playing an instrument isn't, well, let's say this. Playing an instrument doesn't mean you're a worshiper. Singing doesn't mean you're a worshiper. What we just did in here, some of y'all maybe not were worshipers, okay? Worship is a heart thing. Everybody say it's a heart thing. It's a heart thing, okay? Okay, so God is looking down, and he sees these hearts, and you're saying, God, I love you. I'm going to worship you. I just lift my hands and love you and praise you. And God sees that heart. He does. So if you're taking notes, write this down. Praise and worship affects you. Praise and worship affects the devil. Praise and worship affects God. I'm going to say it so you get it. Praise and worship will affect me. Praise and worship will affect the devil, and we're going to talk more about that. And praise and worship affects God, such as God, it says in the Word that when we are in a place of pure worship, of worship of our heart, it says that he brings his throne down and he moves among the people. God comes, it affects God, all right? So Revelation, in the book of Revelations, it talks about the candlesticks. Anybody read in the book of Revelations the candlesticks? The candlesticks really represent the church. Wait, raise your hand, you are the church, okay? And it says Jesus walks among the candlesticks. So this is how I read this, okay? So I believe with all my heart that every time we are in a worship time, that Jesus comes and he's walking. He's down this aisle. He's over here. Oh, Pastor D, I don't believe that. Well, I believe the Word of God, and it's in the Word of God, so go read the book of Revelations, all righty? But praise and worship affects us. It affects us in all different parts of us, okay? So praise and worship, in a good sense, will affect us. Now, we are living in a culture, in a time where they are nasty out there. They're negative out there, okay? So how about if we could use some positive by praise and worship versus negative? So praise and worship will affect you. It's just beautiful what it does to us, all right? But I want to say this. And I'm pretty sure most of you agree, but when I come to church, to a service like this, this is a corporate worship. When I come to corporate worship, okay, I don't want to hear music that I heard in the bars a long time ago. Okay? Listen to this. This is sad. Listen, when I come to church, I want to worship him. But there's this new thing going on that there's churches that that their first song is a secular song. Wait a minute. We are the what? The church, okay? We are the church. We are the called out together ones. So I don't want to, you know, I don't want to come in here and I'm hearing a secular song that is not worshiping, that's not edifying. Amen? Anybody on the page? Everybody say, we're the church. And when we come, guess who? When we come, I want to worship him. Our motto or our slogan or our, what do we call it? Our core thing is, we gather to worship him. We gather to worship, to grow, and to go. But we gather to worship him. So, you know, if you want to sing those songs, go to the bar. I've been there, done that. Don't want to do that anymore, okay? Now, I have to say this. Okay, if you're new to church, okay, most of you aren't, some of you are, but if you're new to church, especially a church like this, okay, you might feel a little uncomfortable. Anybody ever remember being uncomfortable in worship? Like you get to worship service like this and you're like, man, they're all doing it. Whoa, I don't know. They're making me a little nervous, all right? That was my, and I came from a denominational background. Nothing was in the air. That's it. This is the only thing that was raised that was like this, okay? So coming into worship, it would make me nervous, okay? And you know, I thought about why does it make you nervous? Because worship really gets kind of intimate. So I'm going to throw that one out. But you know what makes people more nervous than that? You know what makes people more nervous? Listen to this. It's getting quiet in the presence, all right? And I can tell, you get to that, everybody say sweet spot. Did we have some sweet spots going? Okay, and it just gets a little quiet. And I can tell the person that gets nervous, you ready? I was like, buddy, what are you doing? This is the quiet time. No laughing on the front row here, okay? All right, so people get a little nervous because it's quiet. That's okay. That's okay to get. Don't do this thing real loud. Okay, look at the person right and left, and then you can figure out where you jump in. Here, but listen, part of the reason why we just get nervous and uncomfortable is we live in a culture that is mega distracted, like pitifully distracted. Ready? Right? Okay, it's not just me, okay? So listen, we're doing it all the time. So instead of doing that, being distracted, and I can be so distracted, like I'm the queen. So what I do is I lay that thing down and I zip it up. Anybody, you have to put that thing away, okay? So how about we lay things down so that we can lift him up. All right, that's just a little golden nugget if you're one of those distracted people during worship, okay? Amen. All right, so if you're taking notes, write this down. Worship is more than music. What? What do you mean, Pastor D? No. Listen to this. Worship is more than music. It's everything that you do that brings pleasure to God. It's everything you do that brings pleasure to God, okay? Now, singing isn't just worship, though that is good and we do a lot of that. Playing an instrument isn't just worship. And if you play an instrument, God bless your parents that paid for those lessons, okay? That, amen, and made you practice, okay? That's good, okay? But I don't play an instrument and, you know, like I don't sing. But listen, it's your heart. Everybody say worship's about your heart. It's your heart to him, all righty? Now, listen to this. I think this is in Ezekiel, the scripture, or it's the one in Isaiah. But the Bible says that when God created Lucifer, he created him with instruments within him. Just try to think on that one and put your head on a page. Just my head can't even go there. But God created this worship leader with instruments within him. Now, that was Lucifer, but listen to this. This is your instrument. Your voice. All right? So don't tell me, well, I don't play an instrument and I don't sing good. You just have a voice. And this is your instrument. This is your instrument. And all of you that play an instrument, not only do you have this to worship, but you get to play these instruments and praise God. Play them with pure hearts and just worship the Lord here, okay? So I'm going to say this again. You don't need an instrument to worship. You don't even have to sing a song to worship, all right? And here, why we worship. Number one, write this down. You were designed to worship. You were designed to worship. What do I mean by that? God designed us to be worshiper. God designed you to be a worshiper. He designed you. That's the way it is, okay? Now, this has taken me a long time to figure out as a pastor. Not everybody worships the way I do. And I used to go, what is their problem? Okay, but because listen, sometimes I'll see somebody, and by the way, if I'm sitting over here, you see this drum cage? It reflects y'all on that side. So I'm looking, okay? Just telling. Okay, so anyway, so Pastor D, you know, distracted, okay. But listen, I look over there, and I'll see somebody, and they're worshiping like this. They don't have hands in the air. They're not doing that. But, you know, maybe they're not comfortable with this yet, but they're worshiping, okay? Now, me and Pastor Sherry, she's this crazy worshiper, okay? I look at her, I'm going, oh, my gosh, can't even look at you, girl. You're so crazy out there, okay? But listen, doesn't she, right? She just looks like, I like to lift my hands. I like to surrender, okay? Stop it over there, okay? I like to surrender, okay? I like to lift my hands because I'm surrendering to the one who has done everything for me. And there's a bunch up here. Y'all are just, they're so cute. They just grab their Kleenexes before we even start. You talk about pure hearts. Now, that doesn't mean that you have to do that. But I do know in my life, because I came from this church, this is the only thing that finally I went like this. And then about a year later, okay, it was a growing thing, all right? So we're not judging people. Praise God. I'm not going to look anymore, all right? Praise the Lord. Okay. But you were designed to worship, okay? And so this word worship, the English word worship, means worth, W-O-R-T-H, and then it's got ship. It's got two, you break it into two parts. So when you worship, You're worshiping something that you call worthy. Okay, that didn't come out to it. Let me read my notes because it was even better. Okay, oh, that's it. When you worship, you're calling something worth, of worth. He's of worth. I'm not. He's of worth. So when you're worshiping, you're going, you are worthy, you are worthy, you are worth it. You are worth, all worth up to you. Amen? All righty. So everybody say, I've been called to be a worshiper. I'm designed to be a worshiper. Okay? Okay. But, and you don't have to say any more after this, but some people worship different things. Now, wait a minute. Worship should be, he's of worth, right? But some people worship different things, all right? Some people worship their sports team. Some people worship their favorite singer. Some people worship their spouse. Some people worship their kids, all right? Now, listen, you can watch sports. You can play sports. Go for it, all right? But here's the thing. Just make sure that your worship, the worth is that, not that, all right? So some people, I just recently heard this. It was a couple months ago. Somebody was telling me about their favorite group. And they're a groupie, and they were telling me they were going down to Baltimore to watch this group. And they said, Pastor D, my group, whatever band or group it was, they're in concert down in Baltimore. I am rearranging my schedule. I am going to change everything because I am going down there so I can be and just have a good old time with my group. Okay, I'm going to call them group. And then I said, so, how about, am I going to see you Sunday at church? Because, you know, I asked that question. Every smile. And they're like, you know, Pastor D, I'm a little busy. I got a lot on my plate. So you know what their worth was? Their pointing worship worth was their band. And listen, today you chose wisely. You get a lollipop. No, you chose that, listen, God, you are so important that I'm going to come to church. And that is a part of worship. It is. I didn't write it in the book. The Lord had it written in the book. But it is a part of worship, all right? So the question is not, am I going to worship? The question is, who? Everybody say, who? Who am I going to worship? Who am I going to worship, all righty? So listen, tons of you are going to go home and watch a football game, myself included. Love football after church, and then I usually fall asleep, okay? All right? And that's okay. But we've got to be careful that we don't exalt that, whether it's sports or the concert or your spouse or your kids. We don't exalt that more than him. Okay? The Bible says to seek him first, okay? So you just have to make sure your priority's okay, all righty? Now, praise God. Open up to Revelation chapter 4. It's the last book in your Bible, all righty? Worth. We're talking about giving him worth, okay, because of him, all right? Revelation chapter 4. I'm going to read out of a different translation, so you just follow along. Revelation 4:11. It says, worthy are you, O Lord our God. That's what's going on in heaven. They're going, worthy are you. You are worth it, Lord God. There's a worship going on, all right? All right? And, you know, some people say, well, Pastor D, is that all we're going to do is worship? We're going to worship him? Isn't that a little narcissus? You know, he's it. Listen, there's more to that. That's not what it's about. Because keep reading this. It's like they are all worshiping him because he's worth it, all right? You are worthy. You are worthy. Do you know why they're saying, they're standing before heaven going, you are worthy? You know why? Because they got to heaven and they're like, whoa, we made it to the right place. Worthy are you, Lord. And I got news. We get to heaven, you're like, whoa, I made it. Worthy are you. Everybody say, worthy are you. They couldn't help, and you won't be able to help but just to go, worthy are you, worthy are you. Okay, so the second part is to receive glory and honor and power. So I look at that, and I say, you know, Lord, sometimes, and we talked about this and we in our just ministry time, but sometimes I have to look at there's some things I just need to lay down because they're not helping me. They're taking time. They're taking the worth. And I'm going to lay them down so I can give him honor and glory, right? And, you know, that's a kind of a weekly checkup. Sometimes I'm just running through life and the Lord says, checkup time, and to remind me of where I'm placing things in my life to make sure that he is always the one that I worship, all right? So anyway, that's me. The rest of that says, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created, all right? So write this down. I stole this from a book, okay, but it was so good, okay? I tell you right away. Anything you worship other than God, anything you worship put more than God, anything you worship other than God will never give you a return, will never give you a return that God will give you when you worship him. So, you know, some people go, oh, I just don't feel fulfilled in my life. I feel like there's this empty space. Well, just maybe you should go to God, get in his presence, and spend some time worshiping him. It'll fill you up. And then everything else just kind of falls in place. So encouragement, if you're feeling like, oh, you know, my life's a little, just run into him, run into his presence, and he will give you that fill up thing, okay? So here's the thing. You have to ask yourself, am I, in my life, what I do in my life, pointing towards him, like he's worth, that's who I worship, or is it things out here, okay? Now, there is nothing wrong with loving your kids. Keep doing it. Keep training them. Keep hugging and kissing them, all right? There's nothing wrong in having that in your life. There's nothing wrong with watching sports. I will be there tonight. It's afternoon watching who's ever playing, okay? There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing bad about hobbies, hunting, fishing, crafting, whatever you have. They're not bad things. You just have to keep your priority. You have to keep your priority. Amen? All righty. So number one, worship is our design. Here's another reason why we worship. Ready? Worship is our response. Worship is our response. All right? So God made us to respond to him by worship. Okay? That's my response. All righty? Now, worship happens when you realize all that he's done. All that he's done, all right? And then I'm like, I can't help but worship you. I can't help but worship you. I love you so much because of all that you've done for my life. You saved me. You took me out of the pit. You did all of this, and you brought me here, gave me a new name, gave me a new family, called me the righteous and anointed one, okay? So I just got to worship him, all righty? Now, if you forget where you came from, you will forget to worship. We have a prayer time every Thursday at noon, and I usually start, matter of fact, I always start it out with, let's worship God. Father, we just come to you, we come into your presence, I thank you that you loved us, that you made a way, Lord Jesus. You made the way that we could come into the presence of God. And God, I just want to worship you. I'm so thankful that I'm a part of your family, that I am a new creature. Every time we do this corporate prayer, but every time I sit down to pray, and every time I go to worship, I'm remembering, amen? Now, somebody once says, well, you know, Pastor D, I didn't do that much too wrong. I was like, what? Bad English. I didn't do that many things too wrong, all right? I don't really have a whole lot to be thankful. I want to go, what? Are you kidding me? You were going to hell without Jesus. And I don't mean to be mean, but we all were. Until we ran into the Savior, Jesus, and then he changed us. So you have a whole lot to be thankful for and to worship. All right? Amen. All right. And then, because I know, I just go, God, you took a mess, and you brought me into your family. So I'm just going to lay down my life, and I'm just going to worship you. I'm just going to worship you because I am so thankful. I'm so thankful. Here's a good scripture. Turn to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. This is good. By the way, every scripture in the Bible is a good one. I always say they're my favorites and they're good. Here we go. This is the Passion Translation. It's kind of the new one that's out. And Michelle got me a copy, so I'm having fun. Okay. But you are God's chosen treasure. You know, some of you don't even believe that. You are chosen and you're a treasure of God. All right, amen. It also says you are priests who are kings, a spiritual nation set apart as God's devoted ones. He called you out of darkness to experience his marvelous light. And now he claims you as his very own. He did this so that you would broadcast his glorious, wonderful thoughts about the world. Amen. Praise God. So this is, listen, when you just think where you were and where he's brought you. He's brought me out of darkness, a pitiful place, just a hurting place, just a not great place at all. And he brought me into his light. I'm like this. Thank you, thank you. Just thank you, Lord. Everybody right now, Father, thank you for taking me as a mess out of a dark place and into your light, into your family, into your kingdom. Father, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Amen? Praise God. All right. So here's a description of what worship is. You can write it down. Worship is our attempt to cope with the abundance of God's love. I looked around this morning at worship and I thought, there's a bunch of people that are trying to cope with the love of God because they're like this. Some of them are on the ground. Some of them have got Kleenexes all over, okay? But listen, when you understand how much God loves you, you'll be, God, I just want to worship you. You love me. You love me. Thoroughly love me, okay? Praise God. So listen, guys, God loved you, by, I think it's in Romans, God loved you when you were yet a sinner. God loved you when you, when I was yet a sinner, he loved me. And he called me, and he loved me, and he brought me into his family. Huh, that's amazing. Some of me, I look at you, and I go, that's amazing. You look at me, and you go, that's amazing. 1 John 4:9 says, we love him because he loved us first, right? So when we were yet a sinner, when we were yet a mess, we live in a mess, we're sinning a mess, we're living messed up lives, he said he loved you. Right there. Every day, just God, thank you, thank you, thank you. So I'm going to worship you, okay? So number one, worship is our design. Worship is our response. And here's our third one, why we worship. We worship because it's about a relationship. All you married folks, y'all should know this, right? It's about a relationship. Right? You picked each other and now you're in this relationship. And then you should consider each other. You should consider each other, right? Because you're in this relationship. So I'm always thinking about this and that and what's going on and blessing. And then I better give them a list, okay? And she better do this. I am considering that person I'm in a relationship with, all righty? So how about we consider him? Because the day we came into his family, you began a relationship. Yep, okay? So here's the question. I'm in a relationship with him. Does everything I do bring him glory? Don't raise your hand. Does everything I do bring him praise? Does everything I do bring him honor? Got to work on it, right? No shame, no, you know, here we go. So, and listen, I found out this years ago, a long, long time ago, but, you know, my routine on Friday and Saturday night was going to the bars and hanging out with the girls and God only knows what. And I found out that wasn't bringing glory. All right, no imagination needed. So, okay, so how about if your eyes are on places they shouldn't be, does that bring God glory? How about if your anger and potty mouth is blasting all the time, does that give God glory and honor and praise? All right, no, yeah. So it's just like, God, I'm going to lay this down. Help! I'm laying this down, okay? It's okay to say, help, I got this issue. And we did that this morning. That was part of it. God, it's okay. Just run up to him and say, I need help. I'm laying this down. I want my life to bring praise and honor and glory, all right? Romans 12, turn over to there. Romans 12, I love this scripture. Probably preach it 6 times a year. It's just a good scripture to go off. But here we go. Romans 12, 1. I'm going to read this out of the message, and then I'm going to throw something in there. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take every day, ordinary life, your sleep, your eating, your going to work, walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Okay? The NIV says, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing. This is your true and proper worship. How about that? Living for God is worship. Amen? All right? So we're just gonna lay it before him and worship him, all righty? So everything we do is a form of worship. And I have to tweak it through the days and through the weeks, okay? But everything I do is a form of worship, all righty? Now, so if worship is about a relationship, and I came to church to have a relationship? No, I already have a relationship with him, but I came to church to worship because I have a relationship. I come to church because I have a relationship and I want to worship him, right? So I want to worship him, all righty? And matter of fact, I read my Bible every day because I have a relationship with him. And you know when you have a relationship? Okay, but let me back up. Years ago when Jack and I were dating, he had a bunch of jobs, and one of them is he worked on Route 30 at the Shell station. And he was the guy, back in the day, they had a little cubicle box, and you'd pay everything there. They didn't have it on the machines where you stick your credit card in. So I would drive there and hang out with him. He's in the box, and I'm in my car, and why? Because I wanted the relationship with him, right? And likewise. So I was waitressing, and every night when I'd get off work, he'd be there waiting for me. Why? Because we couldn't help but just want to spend all our time with each other because we had a relationship. We were building relationship, but okay. So what? Okay, we couldn't help. We just wanted to, all right? So how about that with the Lord? You have a relationship with him the day you received him into your life, the day you said, Lord Jesus, okay? So, praise God. I lost my place on the notes here. I was going good. I was doing good here. Okay, here we go. I hear this a lot. Pastor D, I don't like to read. People tell me I need to read my Bible. Ugh, the Bible. Wait a minute. You have a relationship with him, and this is him talking to you. And you know, at the parking lot after you get out of waitressing, okay? But get this in your head. I'm going to run to it. I'm going to devour it. I want to know what he says about me. I want to know what it's about him. So we have this relationship. These are, just things I just can't help and want to do. Amen? Okay, moving right along. All right, worship is about a relationship, but it's not rules and regulations and religion. Okay, so there are some religious, and that's not in the good sense, religious churches that say the only instrument that you can play and that is of God is the organ. I've heard that. I've gone into some of their churches. And then I did a little research. So I forgot the date when the organ was first invented, okay? And then religious people say, oh, that organ, shouldn't have it in your church. It's devilish. It's demonic. What? And those are the people that say, oh, this is of the devil. This is demonic, okay? Cut me a break. Worship is anything pure out of your heart that gives him glory and honor and praise. Okay? I hope we have more instruments up here. What do you want? All of them. Okay. Praise God. All right. So worship is our design. Worship is our response. Worship is our relationship. And the last two I'm going to just cruise through really quick. Ready? Worship and praise is our weapon. Worship and praise is our weapon, all righty? So, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, I'm not going to, just read it. Read it to your kids. It is like better than Steven Spielberg's story. It's just what God does so crazy, okay? But in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, King Jehoshaphat, he's king of Judah, and his people are being all attacked by a bunch of armies, like armies all around them. The big guys, the bad armies are surrounding them, okay? So the armies come against Judah and the children of Israel, and King Jehoshaphat calls the people together to pray and ask God for help. Just a little side note. You get yourself in trouble. Go to God and say, God, I need help. You should do that. I do that. Don't make that the last thing. Make it the first thing, okay? So, God, I'm coming to you. I need help, all right? So they go to God, King Jehoshaphat, and all the people. And they're praying and they're going, God, we need some help. This army, they're going to attack us. They're going to wipe us out. And the anointing of God comes upon this one guy. And he's actually part of the Levites, but his name is Jehazel, all right? And Jehazel gets a word from God. He gets this word from God. So now remember, this is the biggest battle that they have ever faced in history. They've got 4 or 5 different armies are coming attacking him. And you want to hear the crazy word from God? Ready? Crazy. You're like, what? The word is, hey, the armies are coming to attack you over here, over here, over here, over here. What I want you to do is send the praisers out first. And I would be like, what planet did you come off of? Like sending the, sorry, nothing against you, Hannah, right? The praisers, all right, up first. Like that's going to win the battle, okay? So, but, you, so you have to understand, God doesn't think like you do. He's not normal. He is supernatural, and he does not follow my instructions a lot of times. Thank God, all right? So so Jehazel tells everybody, hey, send the praisers and worshipers out first, okay? Now, this is what I found out when I've been in some battles. Anybody have some battles and storms and attacked in your life? Maybe even today, they're just shooting you up. This is what I found out. I am going to go to God. I'm going to get into the presence of God, and I'm going to ask him to get involved. Just a little golden nugget, right? All right? So here's what happened. King Jehoshaphat and the children of Israel, they send out the praisers first and the worshipers out, and they start loudly praising God. Loudly. I probably would have had my eyes closed because I was like, if I opened up there, I'll see that one, that one, that one, that, the army. So they're just loudly praising God, okay? And now remember, the armies are converging on them. They're going to attack them. But they obeyed the word from God. And he says, send the praisers out. Send the worshipers out. So they're doing that. And you know, those of you that have been in children's ministry know this story. Ready? You know what happens? The armies start killing each other. They start attacking each other till they're all dead on the ground. That's crazy, right? So, by the way, when we do worship and praise, it's not so we kill the people that we're having struggles with, right? Just had to throw that in there, all right? Okay. But here's the deal. We live on a cursed earth, and we have a real enemy, and he is attacking. He is attacking, all right? And he's attacking, and he's trying to mess up your life. And then we live in this culture that they're all just attacking and stuff like that, okay? So what do we need to do? We need to do what they did. In the middle of the attack, in the middle of all the crud that hit the fan, you need to just start praising him, all right? Now, especially when you don't feel like it. When you don't feel like it, when you just like, and do it till you can't even move. Praise God, you're moving in my life. Praise God, I worship you. I praise you that you're going to take care of the enemy, all right? And you do that, and you do that, and you do that, and then you do that, all right? You do that. Praise God. So worship and praise is a good way to attack the junk, all right? And I can tell, start praising him. And you know, it takes faith to praise him when all the junk is flying. I say, but this gives God just a big door to come moving in. All right. So, number one, why do we worship? We worship because it's our design. God made us to be worshiper. Number two, it's our response. Woo! It's our relationship with him, and it's our weapon. And here's the last one. We worship because it reminds us. Reminds us of what, Pastor D? It reminds us that Jesus Christ won the victory for you. All right? He won it, all right? So when I start worshiping, it's like Jesus won, devil lost. When I start singing, God is good, the devil is bad. When I start worshiping, Jesus won the victory and I'm now in him, so the victory's mine. So and it's faith. You know, but who do you want to have faith in? Me? I will let you down, okay? How about you have faith in him? He's the Most High God. He's the God that just is forever with you and just moves mightily in your life, okay? All right. Some people say, oh, Pastor D, I know I got the victory. I've been reading my Bible all day. Pastor D, you know I got victory in my life because I pray all day. Those are works. My victory simply comes because of what Jesus did for me, what Jesus did for you. And yeah, read your Bible and pray every day and you'll grow. But listen, victory is what all that he's done for you. Amen? So can I have my worship team up here? All right. I'm going to give you a chance to respond. Okay. Sometimes I go, this is your homework. Go do this. And, you know, but this is a message that talks about why we worship. Why do we worship? Well, we worship because there's a lot of things worth worshiping for. So I thought what we'd do is just real short, not, you know, not a 10-minute set or anything like that. But I'd ask you if you can stand. We're just going to worship briefly, and then I'm going to pray for you. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Thank you. Father, I thank you that we have had the word, and you have spoken to us. I thank you that Father, we're just going to step out, and because of all that you've done, because you're worthy of praise, because you're the Most High God, that you are mighty, that you are powerful, that you love us, we're going to worship you. We're going to worship you. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Lord, I worship you. I thank you that you came after me when I was so far away and you weren't even on my brain. I thank you that you died for me. I thank you that you brought me into your family. You gave me a new name. I thank you, Father, that you have seated me in the heavenlies with you. I thank you, Father, that your love is always for me, that you are not beating me up and shaming me, that you're always for me. The Bible says, draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. So right now we just draw near to you, Lord, to love you, to worship you. Worship you, Lord. You're wonderful. You're wonderful. You're wonderful, Lord.
Holy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name.
Lord Jesus, there is no one like you. And so thankful, we're so thankful that you loved us, continue to love us. So we worship you. Worship you, Lord.
You alone deserve our praise.
Praise
your name above all names. Be exalted now in the heavens. As your glory fills this place, you alone deserve our praise. You're the name above all names. Be exalted now in the heavens. As your glory fills this place, you alone deserve our praise. You're the name above all names.
forever we will be in the throne room of God singing it. But how could we not give him praise, worship every day, even in the times when the battle's raging? Lord, today we choose to worship you. We love you and we worship you. Amen. Amen. So, set a time every day to worship. But I'm notorious for worshiping in the car. The hard part is to remember to keep my eyes open. And I don't have music on. It's just, especially that East Berlin stretch that I go, not paying attention to the speed limit, trying to remember my eyes, and I just give him praise and worship. So find a groove and just worship him every day and watch what he'll do in you and through you. So you're blessed coming in, y'all. You're blessed going out. Everything you set your hand to, you prosper him. Go be a light. The world needs your light. They need a Jesus. Go tell them. Amen? All right. Have a wonderful day.